I have the great good fortune to be sitting in the tea room of the Folger Shakespeare Library here on the Monday before Thanksgiving 2015. And as one does before Thanksgiving in the Folger Shakespeare Library, one's thoughts turn inevitably to football. And so, of course, I'm sitting here with the publicity and marketing manager of the Folger Shakespeare Library, Peter Aramo, who's going to tell me about the intricate relationship between Shakespeare and sports. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 468, Shakespeare and Football. Last Monday, I was at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. for a production meeting, going over the technical plans for our production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, which we will be performing there next April and May of 2016. And while I was there, the Folger's publicity and marketing manager, Peter Aramo, started talking about the Folger's Fantasy Football League and its relationship to Shakespeare. So we moved our conversation down to the Folger Library's tea room, turned on the microphone, and continued talking. So we're here to talk specifically about football and the uses you have put the so-called fantasy football idea given it a Shakespearean twist. But before we get into that, we wrote, of course, the Complete World of Sports Abridged several years ago. And I searched kind of in vain for Shakespearean references to sports. And I found the tennis balls in Henry V, and that was about it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. The famous tennis balls. Well, you did, in the Complete Works of William Shakespeare, you did the whole history plays as a football sequence.
Yes.
That's correct?
Yes, you're absolutely
which
right.
Which I remember vividly.
And that has inspired you, I think, right, in your current work?
To this day, yes. Austin, to this day, absolutely. There are two references, because I didn't want to come off looking like a clod, so I did do some minimal research.
Oh, good.
There are two references to football in Shakespeare plays.
Okay.
So in seeing that, I came up with two epiphanies. One, that Shakespeare created football.
Of course.
That's the only conclusion you can draw.
That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think in Lear, Kent taunts Oswald by calling him a base football player.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And the other one is in Comedy of Errors, where one of the servants is talking about his mistreatment. And he says, "Am I so round with you as you with me, that like a football you do spurn me thus?"
Very cool. This is great.
Yes. So with that, obviously Shakespeare's invented many, many words. Assassination, bubble, whatever you want to say.
Chutzpah,
absolutely. So my mind is, I think Shakespeare is now threw this word football out there, so people needed to create, we need to come up with something for football.
Our game.
Hence your game. And unfortunately, he's probably talking about the round, bald soccer version.
Yes.
The not American point.
Football, yes.
Football,
yes.
Ball
yes,
with the feet.
Yes. Manchester United football, yes. No, we're talking Packers, Bears, American football.
Right.
Shakespeare knew. He knew what Thanksgiving was about.
He was in it. That's right. It is coming up on Thanksgiving, yes. The biggest football weekend of the year.
There are three games. I will be sitting in front of my TV while eating my cold turkey on rye. Absolutely.
This is what we're really talking about, that you are in charge of the fantasy football leagues here?
I am commissioner, yes.
I apologize.
I am the commissioner. I noticed when I started working here about 3 years ago that it was all Shakespeare enthusiasts, but a lot of football enthusiasts as well. So I thought I'd meld the two. I mean, Shakespeare and football. I mean,
you've just proven it academically.
Absolutely.
You're going back to the text. You've just proved it.
So we are now in our third season. We have 12 teams, all with two divisions. Those division names change each year. This year we have the Montague and Capulet division.
Of course we do.
and people have a lot of fun with it. Our trophy, which is much coveted, is called the Shakey, and it's an orange bust of Shakespeare. The champion signs it, and it is his or hers. Our first champion was a She lives in Seattle. She does a lot of Shakespeare work out in Seattle and a lot of theater. Her name is Amelia. Her team's name is Malvolio's Revenge.
Ooh.
So she was our first champion. And she's the team to beat this year. She's 9-2, and she's got a juggernaut of a team. So
this is great. So she did a lot of work in the off season to maintain her edge?
We had a live draft in August, and she's in Seattle, so we Skyped with her.
Okay.
No one talked more smack than Amelia, and she came prepared. It was 8 o'clock.
And her name's Amelia.
Yes.
Nobody talks more smack than Amelia in Othello either.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She drafted very, very well, and we're all paying the price for it right now.
And so the pool, the league, is not just limited to the employees here on site at the Folger Shakespeare Library.
No, I would say about 8 or 9 of them are here at the Folger. As You Hike It. Amy, she was here. She worked with Garland in our external communications. She was an employee at the Folger at one time, so she has strong roots with the Folger. Our current champion, who is the general manager of the theater, David Polk. He's our current champion. His team name is my favorite. It's Tight Andronicus.
Tight End Dronicus?
Andronicus, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Two words, not three. Guys.
Yes. With my team name, in doing this research, I discovered my second epiphany, which was my team's name. There was a professional football player named William Shakespeare. He played for Notre Dame. He was an All-American at Notre Dame in the early 30s.
Please tell me he played Hunchback.
That was not on his Wikipedia page.
Go in and edit it. Change it. He played Hunchback for Notre Dame.
That's absolutely right. He was drafted by the Steelers first round in 1935, and his nickname was the Bard of South Bend, because he's Notre Dame, and his other nickname was the Merchant of Menace, which is my team name. So I learned my team name has an illustrious history from William Valentine Shakespeare. Two gents.
Yes. This is great stuff. Is the league open to just anyone, or how does one get into this league, or can one get into this league?
Oh, they could get into the league if they are all of our players are Shakespeare people. We have 12 slots filled. We have a new player this year. So once in a while, somebody will drop out because the stakes are so high.
Sure.
And you can only take so much. So we did have someone leave the lead this year, but that created a new spot for Matt Bogan, who works here at the Folger. His team name is Burnham Stumps. He is in first place in the Montague Division, doing very well for a rookie. He had the last draft pick, and he's I think he has a 9-2 record, doing extremely well.
Well,
it is open to everybody.
That's good. You probably want to expand into the L.A. market, the highly lucrative L.A. market. Right?
Oh, absolutely. I have big plans, Austin. Big plans.
Clearly, does the league itself have a name? Is there an NFL?
It's I love alliteration. It's the Folger Fantasy Football League. So
yes. Oh yeah.
F cubed,
very
great. Right. Yes,
not FFS, which is for fuck's sake.
That's right. Absolutely. So, Folger Fantasy Football League, 3 years running.
Uh-huh.
Everyone just has a great time. Monday mornings, you could tell who won and who lost by how they come into work.
Well, for those of us, not me, obviously, but for those of our listeners who don't understand how this works, how does it work? How does a fantasy football league work?
That's a great question. I think it's all about stats. There's reality and there's fantasy. Tony Romo, in reality, may not be the best quarterback you want on your team, but in fantasy, it's all about stats.
The previous week's stats.
This week's stats, yes.
Okay.
We're recording right now on a Monday, so this week's games, there's a Thursday night game, all of Sunday's games, and Monday night game that goes into your week. You put up your best roster. You have 15 people on your team.
Okay.
You put 9 people to play that week because there are bye weeks. You want to look at specific matchups. Well, this guy's playing a run defense who gives up the farm every week, so we want to play this running back. It's all about matchups. The points when a running back or wide receiver, tight end, whatnot scores, that's 6 points. Quarterback will get 6 points for a touchdown thrown, -2 for an interception, -3 for an interception that's gone for a touchdown. There are nine spots. You get your quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, a defense, and a flex position, which you could play a wide receiver, running back, tight end. You do have to have some knowledge to play football, fantasy football, but we just all have fun with it.
And are you picking mostly offensive players, players that score, right?
All offensive players. Oh, the defense, there are a lot of fantasy players who are really into it that will select and draft specific defensive players, a safety, a lineman. In our league, it's just you draft the team defense. So you get points for interceptions, for sacks, for fumbles, for safeties, things of that nature.
Okay. And you're the commissioner of the league. Does that put you in an awkward position sometime? Are you also a team member as well? An owner?
I am an owner of a team, the Merchant of Menace.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, I've lost. I was the seeded one last year. I was 11-2, but lost in heartbreaking fashion in the playoffs last year. I just had another heartbreaking loss this week. So I'm 6-5, hunting in the playoffs. I'm the commissioner, which just really means I keep everyone in the loop. I kind of organize the draft. We have the live draft.
Right.
So it's great. We have some food. We have some drinks. Everyone sees each other, has a great time. I create the scoring settings, who gets what, that kind of thing. And it's just my job really to, you know, keep in touch with the league and say, the trading deadline's coming up, make your trades now, that kind of thing.
You're the nag.
Yes, I'm the nag. Absolutely.
Right.
I am the nag, yes.
But there are no conflicts of interest if suddenly the Merchant of Menace starts doing amazingly well.
Well, there was a conflict of interest the first season when I selected to draft at random and I got the first round draft pick. And there were a couple of people that said, how funny, the commissioner got the first round draft pick, the first overall pick. How interesting that was. So for the second year, I had somebody at random just pick out of a fishbowl the names. Yeah. And this year we picked from reverse order of standings from last season. But that first year, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have done it like that. So.
Well, I think if you're taking any tips from the real commissioner of the NFL, I think you've learned that the most important thing is to appear to be honest rather than to be actually honest.
Absolutely. Yes, it's all about the appearance.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our winter of 2015-2016 tour continues this week with performances of The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, and The Complete History of America Abridged in Missouri, Kansas, California, Ohio, Michigan, and Georgia. And then next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official RSC premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater at the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Peter Aramo of the Folger Theater, who was telling me about his dreams of where this Shakespeare Fantasy Football League could go.
What I'd like to do with the Shakespeare thing is figure out which type of NFL players, what type of Shakespeare character would work, fits a certain type of fantasy football player.
Oh,
you know, like that guy who starts off really well and just craps out the second half of the year. Like,
right.
What character in Shakespeare, you know, just it falls off the face of the earth. Is that like
a Christopher Sly who disappears?
Absolutely. Yeah. Or Duke Frederick. After Act 2, I have no idea where you are. Where
right.
did you go?
Right.
That's that fantasy football
player. A quarterback who should never run the option because, like Hamlet, he can't make up his mind which way to...
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. That's our Roger Griffin III. If you drafted him, he's for 4 hours debating whether or not, or whether I should run, whether I shouldn't run. To run or not to run.
So you're trying to cast, you know, your the Shakespeare's characters with also players from the league. That's a really interesting side angle to your league.
I try to add as many dimensions as possible so people get the full Shakespearean, you know, feel of the whole league.
And so the owners are made up of Shakespeare nerds, but in all forms. Theater technicians from the theater, theater publicists, admins, scholars, I'm guessing. Do you have actors in there as well?
We have no actors yet, although our first champion, Malvolio's Revenge, is an actor out in Seattle.
Okay.
We have David, who's a general manager, our main IT guy, Matt. We have Rebecca Sheffer and her team, Much Ado About Running. She works in the theater with Charles. We have Who else is? Tim Guillo, our house manager. He's the Merry Wives of Winston.
Is he from North Carolina?
No, I think it was just that whole Jameis Winston.
Oh, sure, of course.
Winston thing. Who scored 5 touchdowns yesterday and nobody owns him? So,
well, now this is an interesting, leads me to an interesting question, which is like, we are all artists and scholars here. Mm-hmm. So in this league, do we tolerate a player like a Jameis Winston or Ray, what's his name? Ward, the wife beaters.
Oh.
No, Ray Rice. Do we tolerate these players or are they in our league?
That's interesting. That I leave up to each individual manager and their own. Let them live. They have to sleep well at night. If they want to draft a Michael Vick puppy killer, then that's on their conscience. Or Ray Rice, who apparently we all saw that video. Yeah. But there are people who like regular NFL owners. If the guy produces, you want him on your team. Adrian Peterson went first round, and I don't think he treats his children very well.
So you really are like Roger Goodell. That buck got passed so quickly there.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's frowned upon, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
I'm not going to do anything about it.
Wow. And clearly your owners are in cahoots. Oh, a fie upon them. Pox upon them. Pox upon them, I say.
That's right.
Well, it seems like... I know this is all just fun and games here in-house at the Folger,
mm-hmm.
but it really does seem like there are enough nerds out there in the world. This league could expand.
I think
Do you
so.
Have expansion plans?
Well, I've seen on a couple of ESPN and Yahoo leagues, there are other types of film buff leagues, and there are a couple other Shakespeares, but none have the cachet of being at the world's largest collection of Shakespeare materials as the Folger, right here in the heart of D.C. So we have that going for us, which is nice, as Bill Murray would say.
Well, I think I know for a fact we have some UK listeners who might want to get in on some of this action. Yes. I mean, it sounds like too good of a model, and I would put up the Folger Fantasy League against
we should
anybody.
Go up Shakespeare's Globe.
Yeah.
We should go head to head with other Shakespeare other institutions.
Absolutely,
and us as a league can come together and create one team to go up against Shakespeare's Globe and Utah Shakes and OSF and all of those people, and that would be interesting. That's expansion for you. That I'd like to see.
Oh, this podcast is just the beginning of making this global domination happen.
And Redoux Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys need to be in this.
Absolutely. Well, when we're here in April, we will definitely become a... Well, April, that doesn't help us much, does it?
No, but you could... I mean, you're not going to call? You're not going to write? Next August, you come to the... We draft, absolutely.
I love it. You're the
next year.
You're the commissioner of the league and our Jewish mother.
Oi. What? There's a league? Oh, my God. Yes.
Hath not a commission. Eyes.
Yes.
Do we not fumble?
Do we not? I'm sorry, that's the best I could come up with.
That's it for this week's Redoux Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Shakespearean fantasy via email to feedback@redouxshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, redouxshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Nickelback Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Farley Snow. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Michael Whitmore, Executive Director of the Folger Shakespeare Library. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 468 1404ths of the Redoux Shakespeare Company.
I expect the tea room to be, even in America, to be filled with old British ladies having their tea and cucumber sandwiches, and I'm disappointed that that's not the case.
Oh, well, give it 10 minutes, and we'll see. Give it 10 minutes, and we'll see.
The 3 o'clock rush is on its way.
This podcast is a production of the Redoux Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to RedouxShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.